This is Unhurried, and I'm your host, Doug Kyle. You know, life can feel like a race, rushing to the next thing, never time to reflect. But there is incredible value in slowing down with God to take in His perspective, His presence, His pace. Do you have a key verse from the Bible that shapes your life, something that grips you and speaks to who you are? I've heard people say that they have a life verse, and in general, I'm kind of ambivalent on whether that's important or not. But in my case, I do have what I call my signature verse, and today I'll explain what I mean. This is episode 35 of season 1 of Unhurried. I'm your host, Doug Kyle. Thanks so much for joining us. Sit back and enjoy this time together. Maybe grab a cup of coffee or tea. If you're driving, slow down, and let's reflect on this together. Thanks again for joining us. As I said, I have a verse that's sort of a signature verse for me. It's connected to a famous passage in the Bible that says, "Be still and know that I am God." And studying what I'm calling my signature verse made me realize that I actually misunderstood this more famous verse about being still and knowing that God is God. As it turns out, that verse that many people know, well, it doesn't mean what they think it means. So thanks for joining us. This week I want to do a little detour and talk about my namesake verse in the Bible. As you'll see, I don't expect you to adopt it as your namesake verse, but you'll see why I do. And I think by the time we're done, you'll agree that this is a great passage for us to turn to over and over again. You know, my given name, my first name, Douglas, it's one of those names that it doesn't work really well on those Christian plaques that give you the Christian meaning of your name. Douglas, it turns out, means dark river. And that's kind of a hard one to make some kind of a Christian parallel to. I've seen it kind of a stretch at times. They say Douglas, seeker of light, as if maybe that in your imagination, that dark river is going to a brighter place. But that in my mind is kind of forcing it to fit a little bit. So I've always thought, well, my name doesn't really have any kind of super spiritual implications like other people's names might. My full name actually is Douglas Neville Kyle, and Neville was my middle name. I was my dad's first name, but I was always kind of embarrassed by it when I was a kid. But now Neville has become kind of a cool name with, I guess there's a important character in Harry Potter named Neville, and now it's much more well known and people kind of like it. I do too. I like it now myself. But Neville means new village, and then Kyle turns out is a word that means it's a Scottish word that means like an inlet, a water inlet that goes out to the ocean. And so when I put that all together, I thought, well, I can kind of picture what my full name means. It paints a picture. You have this dark river that there's a new village next to this river, and as that new village is planted by the river opens up to the sea. So I thought, well, even though that doesn't have super spiritual meaning, at least it's kind of a cool picture. I can kind of picture what that looks like. But then I came across a verse in the Bible that sort of has all three of the meanings captured in my name in the same passage. In Psalm 46:4, it says, "There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God." And of course, river, Douglas, the river, the city of God, the idea of this new village, this city that's there on the river, and even the gladness as it's opening up to the sea, this picture of joy and bounty as it's opening up there. And so I thought, how cool. I have a verse that actually captures so many of the meanings of my name. Maybe it is Christian after all. Maybe there's a Christian connection. And anyway, Psalm 46 then became this really important psalm that I wanted to explore and I wanted to dig into. It was then that I discovered that later in that psalm, it famously says, "Be still and know that I am God," a passage that I'd heard many times and I know people, new people quoted and relied on. And so I wanted to see how those two verses fit into the larger context of Psalm 46. So why don't we do that together? Psalm 46 begins, as a matter of fact, there's a lot of really cool verses in this psalm, but it begins this way. It says this in verse 1, "God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble." So first of all, it starts with God and this great picture of Him as this strong help in our lives. And He's this presence in our lives in the midst of trouble. And trouble indeed, because right away we see in the next two verses that this psalm was written in the context of very difficult times. It goes on to say right away in verse 2, "Therefore we will not fear, though the earth give way, and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, and the mountains quake with their surging." So it's this picture of God as a strength and a present help in the midst of a world that's really tumultuous and quaking and shaky, insecure, unstable. This high view of God who meets us in the middle of a very shaky world. And as soon as it says that, the very next verse is, well, my namesake verse. "There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells." This incredible contrast between the insecure, shaky, troubling world that we live in and this heavenly serenity that is contrasted with it. This river in heaven, this holy place where God's dwelling and presence is. And there we are meant to see this stark contrast between the two, our world that is insecure and shaky, and heaven which is secure and joyous with this flowing river in the middle of it. Verse 5, right after, it says, "God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at the break of day." And who is her in this passage? Well, her is Jerusalem. This is a promise for the earthly city in contrast or held up against the heavenly city. And for us, we could apply it to where we live. It's the contrast between the reality of heaven and the real world that we find ourselves in, the peace and the joy and the gladness and the stability of heaven compared to the shakiness of this world. And this is where God's people always find themselves. It says here that God will help her at the break of day. Well, the break of day was the time that armies would often attack a city. In the same way, God invites us to find security in Him each morning, knowing that no matter what we face that day, He is going to be there as a very present help. And so this, again, gives us a little bit of a hint into what must be going on when this psalm was written, the insecurity of maybe a battle that is raging all around. And even now we're getting closer to that famous passage about "be still and know that I'm God." But before it says that, we get to verse 6, where the contrast between this river in heaven and this shakiness on earth, where it says, "Nations are in an uproar, kingdoms fall. He," that is God, "lifts His voice and the earth melts." So it's this incredible picture of God who is sovereign and in control and powerful from heaven in the midst of the things that feel like they're shaking our world and very powerful around us. And we get to the chorus of the verse, which comes in verse 7. It says, "The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress." I say that's the chorus because these psalms were originally songs, and we see those exact same words later in verse 11 at the very end of the psalm as well. So you get the sense that this was the chorus that's being sung as as the rest of the lines of the song are also conveyed and written down for us as well. The Lord Almighty is with us, this present help. He's with us, the God of Jacob, our fortress, our safe place. Well, then we get to this declaration of God's triumph, where this invitation is given for us to look upon God and His victory, His victories in the past and His victories in the future. In verse 8, it says, "Come and see what the Lord has done, the desolations He has brought on the earth. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire." Again, we're meant to understand that this psalm was written in the midst of war, and God is the one who is going to take care of their enemies, and He's going to bring them back to peace. Jerusalem meant the city of peace, and yet so often, historically, it's been a place that has just raged with war. And yet, there is this heavenly city, this higher city, where God's peace reigns. And the same God is available to come into our lives, our cities, the places where we live, and pour His peace as well. And that's what leads to, it's at that point that we get to the verse that's so well known. This verse about God's being still and knowing that God is God. Again, it's at the very end of this psalm. Not really at the end of the psalm. It's verse 10, and there's 11 verses. But as I said earlier, verse 11 is the chorus. So really, it's the climax of the message from this psalm. And it says, "He says," that is God, "He says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth." But here's what's so powerful about that verse and why I think I misunderstood it initially. I always took that as words to me, almost as if God is saying that to me, "Be still. I'm supposed to be still, and I'm supposed to know that God is God, and that He will be exalted among the nations." But the command, "Be still," is plural. And it's not God addressing the singular heart. Rather, it is God addressing those warring nations that He will one day make the wars cease. In fact, earlier in verse 9, when He says He makes wars cease, that's exactly the same word here as being still. It's the same idea. It's not an individual invitation then to be an isolated believer. It's a command to these rebellious nations to cease their battles and recognize who God is and who He wants to be. And so in that regard, it is God who is speaking to all that rages around us and commanding it to cease, as He has in the past for us and He will in the future. Maybe much like Jesus in the boat when the disciples were so worried because the storm was raging all around them, and Jesus was at peace. He was calm. He was actually sleeping. They wake Him up, and He speaks to the storm, and He says, "Be still." He didn't speak to the disciples. He spoke to the storm. And God also speaks to all that rages around us. And it's this reminder that He's in control of everything that happens. He's in control of this world at every level. So this is not just a stillness that is found only in serene settings. I always thought of this as sort of like a nature setting calendar photo. You know, this calendar with this beautiful sunset and a person sitting on a mountaintop with a Bible on his knee, and God says, "Be still and know that I'm God," as if I needed to get away to some serene, lonely place in order for me to experience the reality of this passage. But this is actually a call to stillness in the midst of trouble, in the midst of turmoil, cataclysmic events. It's a confidence that right now in heaven, God's peace reigns. There's a river that runs through it, and that one day in the future, God's peace will reign. He will make wars ultimately cease. And even now in the present, He's a very present help. and he invites us to recognize his control over all that rages in our lives, that we might experience the reality of God with us, the reality of all that he wants to do in our lives as well. Yes, of course, God does give us those serene moments when we're all by ourselves and everything seems right with the world, and he calms our soul and puts a stillness deep within. Thank God for those moments. But it is also, thank God, that it is so much more than that. He also lets us tap into the river of heaven even when the world is shaky. Jesus said that the Holy Spirit would be like a river that's flowing within us, and it's his peace that can come and reside inside, even in the midst of a world that makes us otherwise fearful or worried or apprehensive. The Holy Spirit comes and resides within and pours his river of peace within us. Jesus calms the world around us. And sometimes it doesn't happen right away, but in that moment, we also have the promise that one day he will, that he is powerful enough to make all that is opposed to him in this world one day cease, and he will be recognized as the Lord of all. You know, even as I say those words, I'm not sure what's going on in your life as you're listening to this, but I do know this, that God's timing is perfect, and he certainly wants us to understand the reality of this, that there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. And that river from heaven can flow into our lives as well. It can flow into our experience. And it's the recognition that God is bigger than all that we face. Anyway, that's my namesake verse. Thank you for letting me share it with you and the whole psalm that surrounds it. To me, it's a great passage. Even if it doesn't have your signature on it like mine, I think it's a great passage for you to carry with you as you journey with God in this world. Until next time, this has been Unhurried with me, your host, Doug Kyle. I look forward to talking soon.